Thank you very, very much. In fact, to tell you the truth, from the scripture reading to you folks singing to the music, all of it, Faye, did I cover everybody? It was all God-honoring and glorifying. And I'm just telling you, I think the Lord is pleased with what He has already heard from here. And now I have the great privilege of opening up the Holy Word of God. I would like for you to take your Bibles, and if you will turn, please, to the book of Hebrews. We are in the 11th chapter. And this morning, this is the second message in this series, which I have referred to as God's Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. Our study today has to do with Abel, a faith to die for. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Whatever Abel was, it was pleasing and acceptable to God. Whatever Cain was, it was displeasing and unacceptable to God. I could rephrase this verse this way. God accepted Abel and proved it by accepting his sacrifice. And though Abel is long dead, we can still learn lessons from him about trusting God. I have four questions I'd like for us to address today. Question number one. In what ways were Cain and Abel different? Now, was it because Abel brought a blood sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice was of the fruit of the ground? Not completely. It was not the offering by itself, because you must remember that in the Old Testament, God also prescribed grain offerings or things from the ground to be offered to him as acceptable sacrifices. You say, where is that? Well, for example, unleavened bread, the feast of first fruits, you took the first fruit of the grain. The feast of weeks, it says, they offered a new grain offering to the Lord. Didn't involve blood at all. But those were biblical, acceptable sacrifices made to God. So there's a little bit more to this than just the blood sacrifice, though that is certainly a significant part. The Amplified Bible, therefore, says the acceptance of his sacrifice proved that he was in right standing with God. When Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, and that's what it says, he offered it by faith. Do you remember what faith is? Verse 1 says, faith is the assurance of things we hope for. It is the certainty of things that we cannot see. When Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, he had the assurance of what would happen when he did it. And he had the certainty of what God would think about it when he offered it, because he offered it by faith. Now, if you'll notice in your Bibles, there is a passage I'd like for you to turn back to, because I want us to see exactly what happened here with Cain and Abel. Would you go back to Genesis chapter 4? Genesis chapter 4. Verse 1. Here's the record of what Hebrews is referring to. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstling of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect or accept Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now notice, God had respect unto Abel and to the offering that he made. He did not have respect for Cain and his offering. The difference? Look at verse 6. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you. In other words, sin will get you, but you should rule over it. In other words, you have a choice here, Cain. What was the issue? The difference was the heart. Cain was a man who obviously had a heart problem. He had sin in his life. And God even said to him, listen, if you come and do right, you'll be accepted. I'm not rejecting you for no reason. It is a condition of the heart. We're going to build on this. Oh, by the way, that is the first time the word sin is used in the Bible, right there, in connection with Cain. So, how were they different? Abel was a man who had faith in God and had a heart that was right with God. Cain, for whatever reasons, had sin in his heart and issues and was not being loyal and submissive and faithful to God. Now, we don't know all the details. We're going to learn a little bit maybe, but we don't know all the details of what was going on in his life. But all of us know, wherever you are today, God can see your heart. You may have sung the songs, and you may have gone along with the prayers and all the rest, but the difference is your heart. You can go through the prayers and voice them or sing the songs, but not have a heart like Abel's, but have a heart like Cain's. Second question, in what ways were Cain and Abel the same? Now, I like to build these messages so that I kind of capture your thoughts and you begin to say to yourself, okay, now where are you headed with this? How are they the same? You just told us they're so different. Oh, they were very different. But now how were they the same? Genesis 4. Notice, if you will, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass, we don't know how long that was, that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, notice, to the Lord. Do you know what I notice in this passage about these two men? Both of them knew something about the Lord. They knew something about God. Now, hang on. You say, well, why not? Why not? I'll tell you why not. First of all, did you know that they did not have a Bible? Let us remember, at this particular time, they did not have a Bible. When you pick up this Bible and you bring it into church, the book of Genesis, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the first books of the Bible were written by Moses, humanly speaking, by the Spirit of God, all of it, but by Moses. And then there's more information given to us over the centuries through the Spirit of God. So the Bible first came through Moses. So they didn't have a Bible to go by. Well, how did they know about God without a Bible? By the way, there was no church. Because the church won't begin until the book of Acts, chapter 2, and that will be thousands of years from the lives of Cain and Abel. Okay, they don't have a Bible. They don't have a church to learn about God or to hear about God. The law? Some of the laws of God? Oh, no. Those were given at Mount Sinai. That would be a long time from here. Let me see. No Bible. They have no law. They have no church. And yet they know something about God, whom they cannot see. And they brought a sacrifice. What? How did you know anything about bringing some kind of a sacrifice, Abel? You went and you killed what? And you brought and shed the blood? And Cain, you too brought a sacrifice, it says, to the Lord. How did you know to even do that? And here's the answer. They both had parents. If you get no other message from this today, parents are the first ones who communicate to our children about the things of God. Yes, we have a conscience that will make them eventually aware of a supernatural power. They can look around the world and eventually conclude someone must have created it. But the very first ones whom God designed to talk to our children is every one of you moms and dads. You know where they learned all? You know where Cain and Abel got this information? They got it from Adam and Eve, their mom and dad. In fact, I was thinking about that, and I can just picture it working this way. At some point in these boys' lives, as they got a little bit older and the parents could talk with them, I can just hear Adam and Eve saying, "Listen, Cain and Abel, come here. Maybe it's devotional time. We want to tell you something about the way it was at one time. It was a long time ago. But let me tell you, there was a time when God created us. And he placed us in a garden. But we also need to tell you, there was a point where sin came in and we were disobedient. And God said, as a result of that, you're going to die physically. You died spiritually as well. And I can just hear Adam saying to Cain and Abel, listen, boys, listen to us. There's a God. We know he created us. I know you weren't there at that time. But this is what happened, and this is what he did to us. You also need to know that there is a devil, a Satan, an evil supernatural. It is not wrong for us to teach our children that there is a wicked enemy that hates God. And there is a Satan and his emissaries who will seek to defeat our children. And nothing wrong with saying to your kids, now listen, be obedient to God. Don't listen to the people of this world who are under the power of the devil. And I can just picture Adam and Eve having this conversation with them. In fact, Adam and Eve would, Adam would be able to say originally, I was created in the image and likeness of God. In fact, you got your Bibles open to chapter 4. Look over at chapter 5. I want to show you an interesting contrast. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him, and I circled this, in the likeness of God. But then look at verse 3. Adam lived 130 years, and he had a son in his own likeness, after his image. Oh, see the difference? Do you see the difference between Adam? I was created in the image of God, but when I had children, they are in my image, and they have a sinful heart. Parents. And what about the sacrifice? I can picture Adam saying, we want to tell you what God did. Turn back to chapter 3. Look at verse 21. Verse 20 says, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skins or coats of skins and clothed them. He did what? When Adam and Eve sinned, they could say, let me tell you what God did. He sacrificed an animal. That's where you get the skins. There's the blood. And he made coats for us. And he clothed us. That's why we wear clothes. Does it surprise you or me that people who don't know God have no modesty? Does it surprise you that there would be pornography and filth surrounding our young people and all the temptations because people don't know God? We wear clothes and we are modest because God clothed Adam and Eve after they sinned. God made a sacrifice, blood. He made coats and clothed them, grace. And that animal died in place of Adam and Eve. He could have killed them. But the sacrificial death of the animal, Cain, don't ever forget that, what God did. He taught us the importance of bringing a blood sacrifice and confessing your sins to God, and he will clothe you in his righteousness. And you can walk with God, Cain and Abel. I would say this. Please pray with your children. Please have devotions with your children. I know you may not be able to every single day. Your kids will learn the Bible first from you. They need to hear it. Cain and Abel are a good example of how they got information. They were raised in the same home, by the same parents, in the same environment. And one chose to obey God, and one chose not to. The importance of parents. This church believes, I said this last week, if you weren't here, I'll repeat it. That Awana program, that youth ministry that meets here under Jane, Mary Beth, and Ryan and Amy, our middle school, high school kids. And by the way, I have a real heart to reach out to college age and young adults. And so I'm going to talk to some of you because I'd like to get you together. I'd like to have some sessions with you. We know the importance of getting the Word of God to kids. But I said, we do not take the place of the parents. We are here to help you as parents teach them. And that's what youth leaders are all about, and Awana workers. But mom and dad, In fact, dads, will you please lead your family spiritually? We learn this from this passage. Third question. Well, first of all, we talked about the way Cain and Abel are different, and we talked about the way Cain and Abel are the same. Let's talk about the way God responded to what Cain did to Abel. I'm in Genesis 4. Drop down to verse 6. Why are you angry? You can be accepted, he says. In verse 7, you can be accepted if you will do what is right and get your heart right. And then God is warning him about what sin will do. The dangers of continuing in sin. If you do not well, Cain, sin will lie at your door. And its desire is for you. It'll go after you. Sin will go after you. It'll seek to destroy you. But you can conquer it. Interesting. Rather than being repentant for his sinful disobedience, Cain becomes hostile toward God, whom he cannot kill, and jealous toward his brother, whom he can kill. And he turns in anger and kills his brother. And Cain becomes an illustration of the wickedness of the human heart. And God can't seem to get a confession out of him. Verse 8 says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and he killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel? Don't you remember that? Remember God said the same. Remember what he said? Adam, where are you? Interesting how history repeats itself. And look what his answer is. It's deceit. It's lying. It's manipulating. He says, why am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to be taking care of him? You know, why are you asking me? Interesting. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. So now you're cursed upon the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield strength to you. And you, Cain, will be a fugitive and a vagabond upon the earth. Oh my goodness. And then Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You've driven me out this day from the face of the ground. Now I'll be hidden from your face, and I will be a fugitive and a vagabond upon the earth. And now anybody who finds me will try to kill me. And Cain is going to be living outside the presence of God. And did you notice? Cain is a man who now has no peace of mind. Now he has a guilty conscience. Now he's afraid of everybody else. You know, listen. I know that sometimes, even the way the world treats us as Christians, and for crying out loud, I'm a pastor. I've gone through enough criticism from people over the years, unsaved people or whoever had issues with me. But you know what I have tried to do? Here's what I have worked at. I have worked at doing right, obeying God's word, telling the truth, treating people right, honoring God. And then whatever people say about me, I will do what my mother-in-law used to say. Just hold your peace and let God fight for you. Do what is right, and you won't have to worry about it. Treat people right. Love God. Obey God. So Cain kind of becomes a symbol of the unregenerate man. The unregenerate man, the unsaved person, has no peace in his heart. And he has no rest. And he fears death. Did you notice? Cain is afraid now he's going to die. Our friends out there who don't know the Lord, I believe everybody, to a greater or lesser extent, deep down in their heart, they may not tell you, if they don't know where they're going when they are going to die, there's a fear they have in their heart. What better thing than for us to lovingly come to them and share with them how God tells us we can know where our soul will go when we die, into the presence of God. An unsaved person. Remember when you were unsaved and somebody told you that? Because the truth of the matter is, you were a little bit afraid too, where you're going to go when you die. I can't imagine living not knowing where I'm going when I die. Cain was afraid. The ways Cain and Abel were different. The ways Cain and Abel were the same. The way God responded when Cain killed Abel. And finally, the way we are going to respond to this passage about Cain and Abel. What are we going to do with it? There is a big difference between religion and a relationship with God. Religion doesn't interest me. I'm not interested in... You know, when you study church history, religion will make you sick when you see what has been done in the name of religion. I didn't say genuine believers who love God and treat people with love and treat the world with love and live godly lives. I'm telling you, religion is an ugly story. I'm not interested in religion. There's a big difference between religion and a relationship. Cain had religion. He brought an offering, but he also killed his brother. He had religion, but he didn't have any relationship. Religion is the story of what sinful man tries to do for a holy God. The gospel is the wonderful story of what a holy God has done for sinful man. Religion puts a new coat on a man. The gospel puts a new man in the coat. People get religion, they say, by joining a church or turning over a new leaf or trying to do better. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel makes us new creatures in Christ. The gospel works anywhere and everywhere. The gospel has been declared, believed on in every conceivable social, economic, and cultural condition. True salvation works. It always produces spiritual fruit. It dispels the darkness, delivers us from bondage, sets captives free. It imparts to us liberty and peace. True relationship with God will change your life and save your soul. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in religion. Hebrews 12, that Cynthia read, said what? Go back to that passage, Hebrews 12, verse 24. I want to pick up on something that was read in that passage. Hebrews 12, 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Oh. The blood of Abel cannot wash away our sins, but the blood of Jesus Christ can. Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all iniquity. Abel's blood cried out from the earth. The blood of Jesus Christ bears witness in heaven. Abel's blood cried out for judgment. the Lord's blood speaks of mercy and grace. The blood of Abel makes us think of death. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us think of everlasting life. And Hebrews 9:22 says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness. Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice, that through it, he being dead, still speaks. Let me give you another thought. When you study Bible characters, I'm interested in what they say and what they do and so forth. Do you know? We do not have one recorded word of Abel. We know what Cain said. We have no recorded words of Abel, but he still speaks today by what he did and the way he lived and then the sacrifice that he brought. I'm going to close with what has become a very powerful speech. I have read it. I have reread it. I can't tell you how many times. It was given by Barbara Bush, the former First Lady of the United States. She delivered it in 1990. She was the commencement address speaker at Wellesley College. If you don't know, it is not known as a bastion of conservatism. Wellesley, radically liberal. When it was announced that they were going to have Barbara Bush come and speak to the students, hundreds of students protested the fact that she was even allowed to come there and speak because they didn't like anything about her conservatism, her ethics, her morals. And so it was all over the news. So I got the speech. I wanted to hear what she had to say. And I'm going to read just one little part of it to you in closing. As I say, I've gone over it and over it and over it. And it fits with the message today. She said, and I quote, picture her speaking at Wellesley College at commencement. Cherish your human connections, your relationships with family and friends. For several years, you have had impressed upon you the importance of your career of dedication and hard work, and of course that's true. But as important as your obligations as a doctor, lawyer, or business leader will be, you are a human being first. And those human connections with spouses, with your children, with your friends, are the most important investments you will ever make. At the end of your life, she continued, you will never regret having passed one more test, or not winning one more verdict, or not closing one more deal. But you will regret time not spent with a husband, or a child, or a friend, or a parent. Whatever the era, whatever the times, one thing will never change. Fathers and mothers, if you have children, they must come first. You must read to your children. You must hug your children. You must love your children. And she finished by saying, your success as a family, our success as a society, depends not on what happens in the White House, but what happens inside your house. And she sat down. Our Father, would you help every one of us as parents here to realize the responsibility you've given us to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We want our kids to come to know you, Lord, and to love you, to serve you, and when they die, we'll know they're in heaven and we will see them again. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.